Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the May 10th edition of Raw, the Raw before WrestleMania Backlash. Now, in this episode of Raw, not too much happened, not too many surprises, nothing really happened. It was more of a straightforward match, straightforward night. So I'm going to get right into all the action that happened. So the night starts off with a six-woman tag match. We have Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler versus Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, and Asuka. So as the match progressed, we have Mandy Rose and Nia. They start the matchup. Nia Jax tackles Mandy to her corner, and then Shayna Baszler tags in and works on Mandy's left arm. As always, Shayna likes to work on people's arms. Mandy then rushes Shayna to her corner. Asuka tags in. And then we have Asuka, Mandy, and Dana. They clear the ring and they dropkick Nia, Charlotte, and Shayna out of the ring. And then out of nowhere, which was quite a surprise to me, Alexa Bliss comes out, and then we see her by the entrance with her swing, and we see Lily next to her on her swing too. And then Alexa starts doing her creepy laugh, and then Alexa, she says that her and Lily came out to keep their eye on someone specific. So now we know maybe that it's one of these six women that Alexa and Lily are keeping their eyes on. So as the match continues, Charlotte Flair dominates Mandy Rose, and then Shayna Baszler's leg, it starts to hurt randomly. Like, it's like maybe she pulled a muscle or something, and she just falls down, and Asuka pins her, and then Asuka, Mandy, and Dana Rose win the match, which was pretty random because from what I was watching, Shayna Baszler's leg was fine. No one really did anything to it. So it was kind of a random thing that her leg started hurting or whatever and just pulled a muscle. And then she just falls down. So then when the match is over, Charlotte Flair comes in and knocks out Asuka. And then again, we hear Alexa Bliss and Lily. They start laughing as Charlotte Flair exits the ring. So Are you telling me that maybe Alexa Bliss and Lily are eyeing Charlotte Flair? Maybe she's the one that they were talking about that they did something bad to her or something? Or to be honest, I actually kind of thought that we were going to see Lily in person again, because Alexa keeps teasing that Lily is coming or Lily is already here, but we haven't really been able to see her. So I'm kind of getting like aggravated. Well, not aggravated, but like my patience is running thin, because I want to see who Lily is, because I still believe, as many other believe, that Nikki Cross is going to come out as Lily, because it just makes total sense. As for Alexa and Lily, I and Charlotte, that's pretty interesting. I mean, I wonder if it really is Charlotte, or maybe they're going to like kind of deviate from the obvious and kind of be like, hey, we're looking at Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, and maybe this was just like a cop out for the real thing, which would be kind of funny if they choose Charlotte, because they might do some, I don't know, voodoo type stuff. Maybe that's because that's why Charlotte has had so much bad luck. Maybe because Alexa Bliss and Lily did some sort of voodoo stuff on her. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week, and to see if, or maybe anything happens during the women's triple threat match this Sunday at WrestleMania Backlash. Maybe the real life Lily will come out and kind of cost Charlotte the match. I cannot wait to see whatever happens with that one. So then we have MVP, and he enters Braun Strowman's dressing room. And at this point, we all know it. MVP is trying his hardest to manipulate Braun Strowman to joining forces with Lashley to take out McIntyre, because, you know, MVP tells Braun Strowman that it's a good business deal. You take out Drew McIntyre, it'll be just Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley, as long as Drew McIntyre is not involved. And now, through this whole storyline, I think MVP has become the king of like promos and like hyping up Lashley. This guy, he knows how to get into your mind, and it's pretty clear that, and as much as Braun Strowman is trying to avoid the obvious, but it is obvious that MVP is slowly convincing Braun Strowman to join him, to join, you know, to make a little quote-unquote tag team at Backlash so that they can take out Drew McIntyre, and then it could be Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley. So MVP is being smart. I mean, this guy, he knows what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little bit of a tag team action happening this Sunday. Then we have Jeff Hardy versus Jinder Mahal. And this is Jeff Hardy's return after being off camera for about a month. You know, it's obvious because, of course, his father passed away. And he obviously needed some time off. So that was a sad part about it. But I'm glad to see him come back to Raw. And even Jinder Mahal, he came back with Main Event, but seeing Jinder Mahal back on Raw, it was cool. And then he has his team. I forget how to pronounce their name. Veer, and I forgot the other guy. And they have a new tag team name, which I didn't even pay attention to be honest. But this looks like a new faction that can probably get a little bit over. I think they can get a little bit over. As for the match was a very quick, straightforward match. Nothing crazy happened. You know, Jeff, he basically starts the match with his quickness. He tries to keep Mahal down, tries to get a great, great offense on him, keeps him cornered. But then Jinder Mahal gives Jeff Hardy a massive kick to the head, which when I say massive, I mean massive. I mean, he kicked his head very, very hard. And then Jinder Mahal keeps a headlock on Jeff for a very long time, for a very good minute, trying to keep Jeff Hardy grounded, as Jinder Mahal knows once Jeff Hardy gets the offense and starts using the ropes, he's gonna lose. But then Jinder Mahal does the Colossus, and then Jinder Mahal wins. And it was a very quick match. And I'll be honest, I was looking at Jeff Hardy during this match. I don't know, maybe if it's because he's still grieving over the loss of his father, or is it the time that he's kind of being a little bit weathered and kind of seems like he doesn't have the same energy that he usually has. You know, maybe he's getting to the point that it's time to just hang up the boots and just, you know, not wrestling anymore, be more of a trainer and producer. I was seeing that. I could be wrong. Maybe he's, you know, I mean, it's his first match back. You know, he still needs to kind of warm up to it and, you know, get better. So that's why I'm not giving it too much of a thought. But he did seem a little bit like winded and weathered, and it just didn't seem like he had the energy maybe that he even had before he left. So then we have an 8-man tag match. We have Riddle and Randy Orton, or RK-Bro, and The New Day versus AJ Styles, Omos, Elias, and Jackson Ryker. And tonight, it seems like it was like the night of tag team matches, because there was like so many of them. At least I felt like there was so many of them. So as for the match, Riddle and Elias start the match. Riddle quickly tries to get the armbar on Elias, but Elias drags himself to the ropes. Jackson Ryker tags in, then Omos tags himself in, and of course, Omos being the monster that he is and the monster that they want him to be, Omos dominates everyone. He headbutts Kofi, kicks Xavier Woods, and then you see Randy, he slowly wants to get into the ring. And then he sees Omos, and he just like a snake just slithers away and kind of waits for his moment, which was kind of funny. He literally had the face that he was like, okay, no, fuck this. I'm gonna wait. So then AJ Styles, he starts having a great offense on Riddle. He starts holding him down. But then New Day, they get tagged in finally, because Riddle was in a match for a while. The New Day gets tagged in. They do some impressive tag team moves on AJ. I mean, they tag in and out, and they do, you know, flying bodies, body slam, flying slam. They, you know, they do so many moves. I couldn't even catch every single one of them. But they did a lot of impressive tag team moves on AJ Styles. Elias then does a big spine buster on Xavier Woods. Jackson Ryker does his own spine buster on Woods. I mean, poor Woods. Woods is always getting he's getting most of the hits in this match. I mean, poor guy, man. He's always getting the hits. And then Almas, he throws Riddle to his corner, and then Randy tags himself in, but Almas didn't see it, which is what brings me back to Randy Orton was waiting for his moment for no one to see and him to, like, you know, slither his way in. And then we have New Day. This part of the match was, I don't even know what to call it, but it was kind of a funny move. So the New Day, they do like a tilt-a-whirl thing on AJ Styles outside the ring. So they start spinning him from his legs, which I don't even know. I called it the tilt-a-whirl leg spin. But then out of nowhere, Randy Orton does a RKO on Elias and an RK Bro, and New Day win the match. And I can kind of see that Randy Orton's getting used to being in a tag team for a little bit. I mean, there's still a lot of hesitation in Randy Orton, but you can kind of see him kind of getting by, and kind of he's getting more and more. I wouldn't say he's getting fond of Riddle, but he's tolerating Riddle a little bit more. But then Randy Orton, being the Viper that he is, he RKOs Kofi and Xavier for no reason. And then you just see Riddle, like, telling Randy Orton, like, this is why we're not going to have any friends, because they keep beating up everyone. And I took that as a way of Randy Orton showing Riddle that you can't trust anyone, that you have to trust yourself, maybe trust your partner, but you cannot trust anyone else. That's what I felt like, because he just RKO'd Kofi and Xavier, which technically they're not really much of a threat, but Randy's not taking that chance. So I took it as a way of Randy showing Riddle, like, hey, trust me, but don't trust no one else. Which, vice versa, it's not really the best thing to trust Randy Orton, because that guy, he literally will attack you out of nowhere, even if he likes you. So again, I'm really fond of this tag team, this RK Bro tag team. It's great. I love it. It's like, you know, it's kind of like it's like they don't match. I forgot the phrase that a lot of people use, but like they don't match, but yet they're like so good for each other. So always interesting to see what's next for this tag team. So then we have Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo. And Lord have mercy, here we go again. These two fucking people cannot see other people, or they cannot give them other people. I mean, even before the match, Sheamus, you know, he got on the mic and starts talking about, you know, creating his own legacy, being the best United States champion he can be, and that no one can come to his level, especially Humberto Carrillo, because Humberto Carrillo has nothing on him. So then after that, the match starts, and Humberto, he starts the match super quick. You know, his athleticism is showing. You know, Humberto tries to fly off the top rope, but then Sheamus grabs him and throws him to the floor. Sheamus then launches Humberto to the timekeeper area. Then Sheamus does his rope chest chop on Humberto. Sheamus, he does a Dublin smile, which, by the way, I find it to be probably one of the funniest moves in WWE right now. I mean, I think it was Corey Graves that calls it the Dublin smile. I don't know if that's the official name, but I like the name Dublin smile. It just looks pretty funny when you see the wrestlers taking it, because it kind of looks like they're making a funny face. So it's a funny move. Then Humberto surprises Sheamus by doing a Hurricanrana off the top rope. And then Humberto does a sunset flip. And then this is where the botch happens in the match. So Humberto does a sunset flip off to the outside of the ring. But then when you see Sheamus land, Sheamus lands on Carrillo's knees. So it wasn't a bad botch, but it was a botch. Like I'm pretty sure Sheamus hurt his back on Carrillo's knees with the force that he took him when. Which, when I feel like, you know, when you do a sunset flip off the ring to the outside, you have to open your legs. The person doing the move actually has to open his legs so the, you know, the other wrestler can land on the mat outside. But I guess Carrillo got lost in the moment, and he just, you know, he kept his legs shut, and then boom, that happened. So then what confused me was that the referee stops the match because Umberto is hurt, apparently. But then, so then the referee, he lifts up Sheamus' hand and he gets the win. So I'm confused. So wouldn't Sheamus have been hurt technically because his back landed on this guy's knees? So Umberto should have gotten the win. So that makes no sense to me on who's the winner. I feel like there was no winner at all. It was you rang the bell. So there shouldn't have been a winner. But with all of that aside, I'm just actually happy that they actually had a match. The bell actually rung and they actually like fought instead of having these like weekly random brawls that they were having, you know, which will be either backstage or Sheamus will be wrestling someone else and then Umberto will come out and attack him and then cause Sheamus the match. So I'm just happy to see that they actually had a match finally, and hopefully this will be the last match, but we all know it's not going to be the last match. I mean, I'm pretty sure this match is going to, unless I missed it, but I think Sheamus versus Umberto Carrillo for the United States Championship should happen at WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know if that is on the card. I forgot to check, but I would actually, if it is, I'm not surprised. It should be on the card because these people have been battling since, you know, a month ago. So then we have Cedric Alexander versus Shelton Benjamin, the tag team that never worked, that took way too long to, it took way too long to break up, and these two were going at it. They went at it, and I'll be honest with you, Cedric Alexander annoyed the hell out of me during this match. Like, this guy could not stop talking trash. Like, I get it, you want to talk trash during the match, sure, but for every damn move Cedric Alexander did, he would literally yell and scream and stuff, and it's like, oh my god, this guy, he is so annoying. And as for the match, I mean, most of the match was really on Cedric. He had the most offense, you know. He basically, you know, he worked on Shelton's legs. Cedric then did another leg submission. But then Shelton Benjamin ends up getting a little bit of an offense. And he counters one of the leg submissions. And he turns it into a sharpshooter. But Cedric Alexander quickly gets on the rope. And then, of course, Cedric was talking more shit to Shelton. And then Shelton, out of nowhere, grabs it into a T-bone suplex. And Shelton Benjamin gets to win. And Like I said, Cedric was so annoying the rest of the match. I mean, my God, like, I'm happy he lost. Because, Jesus, like I said, you can talk shit, sure. But, you know, then you wrestle and then you talk shit. But this guy would do a move. He would just talk and talk and talk and talk. And I was like, bro, if you're trying to be a heel, you're not doing a really good job right now. Because all you're doing is talking and talking. I mean, Jesus. I get it. Maybe you want to, like, I don't know, that might be your thing now. As a heel, you're going to like talk and talk during the match. But I don't know, it didn't work for me. Maybe it worked for someone else, but damn, I don't really see this one, this guy talking shit that much again. Because I'm pretty sure someone backstage is going to tell him, like, yo, relax on the talking. Just wrestle more. Because technically, him talking shit cost him the match at this point. So then we have Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. And then Asuka's doing, I mean, she's doing double duty tonight. You know, she did the six-woman tag match in the beginning of the show. And now she's going against Rhea Ripley. So kudos to Asuka. She's a hard worker. As the match starts, Asuka and Rhea, they lock hands. And at this point, even you know, that was the literally first thing of the match. And at this point, I mean, both women just know each other super well. I mean, they've been wrestling since WrestleMania. So they know every move, every kick, every punch, everything that's going to come their way. They both just know each other very well. So then Asuka, she puts an armbar on Rhea, and then Rhea quickly crosses to the ropes. And of course, unbeknownst to us, Charlotte Flair ends up coming out, and then she just tells Asuka that she just wants to watch the match. So then Rhea ends up getting a lot of offense after Charlotte came out. And then she starts toying with Asuka around the ring. She starts tossing her and throwing her to a turnbuckle. And then Asuka, she drives her knees to Rhea's face. And then as Charlotte Flair is in the by the ring, by the announcer's table, Rhea and Charlotte size each other up. To be honest, I actually thought Rhea was going to attack Charlotte Flair, but she didn't. She's saving it for Sunday. But then Asuka does a hip attack on Rhea. And then Asuka and Rhea get back into the ring. Asuka does a missile dropkick from the top rope. And then Rhea does her riptide. And then Rhea Ripley wins the match. Is that a sign for Sunday? I hope. Because I really hope they keep Rhea Ripley as champion for a little bit longer. At least till SummerSlam. Because like I said, they want to put a lot of heat on Charlotte. Sure, she's going to get a lot more heat if she beats Rhea Ripley. Obviously, because we don't want Charlotte Flair as the women's champion. But I feel like if Rhea Ripley was to win on Sunday, Charlotte Flair would give him more pissed off, would give him more heated herself, and then she would end up doing whatever it takes to win that women's title match. So I would say Rhea Ripley should win the match on Sunday. As for Asuka, I mean, I think at this point Asuka is just trying to put Rhea Ripley over, which is a nice thing, you know, when veterans put other young talent over to kind of give them a spotlight. So I kind of feel like Asuka's doing that with Rhea Ripley. You know, Asuka's already had her fame and already had her time as champion, so now maybe she wants Rhea Ripley to kind of enjoy that time that she has. So we're gonna have to wait and see for Sunday. Then we have John Morrison versus Damian Priest. And now for this match, the winner ends up deciding the stipulation for Damian Priest and the Miz match at WrestleMania Backlash. And this, again, this is another two people that know each other super well. They know what's coming because, I mean, God, man, they've been at each other's throats since January. So, I mean, at this point, I don't even know why they should even pick a winner, because they just know each other super well. Priest, you know, he gets Morrison to the corner and throws punches. Priest then does a sidewalk slam. And again, watching this match, it's just getting old to me. I mean, come on. Come on, WWE. Come on. Damian Priest is talented as hell. Morrison's talented as hell. Hell, even The Miz is talented as hell. You can find something for these three people. You don't have to keep specifically these three people fighting for already half a year. We get it. And I mean, I just don't know what more to say about it. We get it. They just don't like each other, but whatever. So then Damian Priest gives Morrison a pretty brutal right hand. And then The Miz attacks Priest outside the ring. Morrison does a neck breaker. He goes for a pin. Damian Priest kicks out. And then The Miz, during the match, he was like a cheerleader. I mean, he kept just coaching and talking and cheering and screaming for Morrison. I mean, he was literally like he was in ecstasy. He was just running around cheering on and guiding Morrison. So it was funny. Then Damian Priest, he does a vertical suplex. He goes for a pin. Morrison kicks out. And Morrison, during this match, he's so dramatic with the flips. I love it. Like, Damian Priest, he pushed Morrison off, like, the top rope. And then Morrison just literally does, like, a full backflip to the ring. I mean, I love the way Morrison, he uses his parkour background in the ring. He just does these dramatic flips when you toss him. I mean, I feel like John Morrison's super underrated at this point. So then The Miz, he distracts the referee when Morrison has Damian Priest pinned. And he notices, and then he literally stops messing around with the referee. But then Damian Priest does hit the lights, and then Damian Priest wins the match. I mean, what a shocker there. Of course, Damian Priest is going to win the match, and now he has the right to choose what stipulation the match is going to be at Sunday at Backlash. And I mean, as the match ended, you know, The Miz, you know, he quickly got inside the ring. He tries to jump Damian Priest, but then when Damian Priest, you know, he gets up, The Miz just runs away, and that was the end of that one. So as for the stipulation, what is Damian Priest gonna pick? Is he gonna pick, you know, a steel cage, a handicap match, or is Morrison gonna be banned from ringside, or is it gonna be, I don't know, no holds barred? You know, the options are endless of like what type of match he can choose. And then Damian Priest ends up choosing the type of match that I personally did not even think of, because I just think it's kind of a waste. He says that his match with The Miz at Backlash is going to be a lumberjack match. Okay, that wasn't really something I was looking for. I honestly thought it was going to be like a steel cage match. I don't know why, I just thought it was going to be a steel cage. But I see why, because Damian Priest says it himself, that every time Priest and Miz is in the ring, The Miz ends up, you know, running away. So now with lumberjacks outside, you know, from both Raw and SmackDown, they're going to keep Miz inside the ring so then Damian Priest can just beat the shit out of him. I get it, it's cool, but I keep repeating. I even repeat it to myself and to others throughout the week. This storyline ended at WrestleMania. You do not need to keep him fighting. I mean, this they can probably get an award for the longest storyline ever happening. Well, not really, but there's been longer storylines, but at least those storylines are actually were better than this one. And I mean, lumberjack match, what can you do? I mean, at least now The Miz cannot run away, and I guess Damian Priest can just beat the shit out of him. But curiosity though, would Morrison be part of that lumberjack, technically speaking? Because he is a Raw wrestler, so I think he is going to be part of that lumberjack, because he didn't say nothing about Morrison not being part of it. So there you go. He's going to find a way to kind of like leave the match with Morrison in the crowd if Morrison is part of the lumberjack. Now we move on to the main event of the night, which was Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. And before I get into this main event, this Raw was very short. I don't know why. It was a 3-hour show, don't get me wrong, but it just felt like very short. Like I only watched like 3 matches, because the main event came on fairly early. Obviously, then they bought time with commercial breaks and whatnot, but it did feel very short. So as for the main event with Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, he quickly tries to put the hurt lock on Drew McIntyre, but Drew McIntyre reverses it very fast, and then Lashley locks in a headlock to Drew. And then Lashley, he tries to keep Drew cornered. He starts doing some vicious punches in the corner, kicks. He shoves his forearm in Drew McIntyre's face. Drew then gives Lashley a vicious slap to the ribs. Drew McIntyre gives Lashley belly-to-belly suplex outside the ring. Lashley overpowers Drew and throws him off the top rope. Lashley then, he has the most offense during this match. He has the upper hand more of it. I guess I would have said that Drew McIntyre is kind of pacing himself to kind of make Lashley get tired, and then he can go on. But like I said, when I wrote that down, I spoke too soon, because Drew actually caught Lashley into a suplex, which he kept Lashley in the air for a moment. I mean, you can see Drew McIntyre has some hell of strength to keep this 300-pound guy on the air on his shoulder. But then Lashley again, he quickly gains control by shoving his forearm in Drew's face. And then Lashley, he's very confident during this match. It's almost like he's not even worried about it. Like, it's almost like a warm-up for him. You can actually see the confidence in his face and the way he carried himself during the match. He had, like, no worries in the world. And then Lashley, he goes for a spear, but then Drew launches Lashley onto the ring post. Then Lashley, he tries to hurtlock again on Drew, but then Drew powers out again. And then Drew McIntyre, he does a claymore kick to Bobby Lashley, and then out of nowhere we hear Braun Strowman's music come out, and then Drew McIntyre, obviously he starts looking at the entrance, but then Braun, he comes out of nowhere from behind and he gives a power slam to Drew McIntyre, and the match ends in a DQ. So technically speaking, Drew McIntyre won. But then we see Braun Strowman, he goes to Bobby Lashley, and There's a moment of maybe agreeing, of both of them agreeing. So then Braun Strowman extends his hand to Lashley and shakes it. And then Bobby Lashley hugs Braun Strowman. And at this point, Bobby Lashley thought that Braun Strowman did join him. But of course, Braun Strowman power slams Lashley. And then he takes Lashley outside. And then Braun Strowman actually slams Lashley through the barricade. And then Braun Strowman comes back into the ring. And he does another power slam on Drew McIntyre. Obviously, MVP's plan wasn't working because you hear him outside saying, "What are you doing?" And this is why I didn't give anything away, because as much as MVP is trying his hardest to manipulate Braun Strowman and trying to get into Braun Strowman's mind and trying to get him to join him for this Sunday, I feel like it's working, but it's not working at the same time. Maybe Braun Strowman's a little torn because, you know, he is a man that does things by himself. But at the same time, he really does want that universal. He wants that championship again. So he will do anything to get that championship again. So I feel like he is torn between these two things. But I mean, I'm pretty sure. Like I've said that Braun Strowman is like the jobber for triple threat matches because he never wins any triple threat match. I mean, the last one he was in was SummerSlam with the Fiend and. Fuck, who else was in that? That's when Roman made his comeback. So yeah, I feel like Braun Strowman is a jobber when it comes to triple threat matches, because I mean that guy never gets a break in them. As my prediction for Backlash this Sunday, who's gonna leave as champion between Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley? I mean, I gotta go with Bobby Lashley. I mean, I hope Bobby Lashley, because this guy is killing it as this almighty champion. As much as I would actually like to see Braun win, he's not going to win. And as for Drew McIntyre and the whole, you know, fairy tale story, he's not going to win, sadly. And if he does actually win, I mean, kudos to him if he wins, but I don't think he's going to win. This whole thing is going to go with Lashley, and I'm pretty sure Braun is going to do something to Drew McIntyre in the match. And then, you know, Lashley's going to take advantage of it and get the pin and win. As for my highlights of this episode of Raw, I have to say that it was actually Alexa Bliss coming out of her little backstage playground and actually seeing her close to the ring and apparently her looking at her victim. I think it was great, because I'm like, well, you know, it's been... a long time. It's been a month since she's actually been at least close to the ring that she hasn't even wrestled in a long time. As for my other highlight, it's really RK-Bro, you know, Riddle and Randy Orton. And, you know, Randy Orton basically kind of nodding to Riddle saying, "I don't trust anyone." I think this tag team is going to go far. I hope it goes far, but knowing WWE and how, you know, for example, they broke up Retribution very fast, even though at the beginning they were very dominant. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see where this RK Bro stuff goes. And as for, oh, by the way, after Raw ended, I thought of something, and I'm like, okay, where the hell is the Fiend? Where's Bray Wyatt? Where's the Firefly Funhouse? We haven't seen it at all since. What, the day after WrestleMania was the last one, and we haven't seen anything from him again. I mean, sure, they're trying to build up some mystery about it and stuff, but it kind of seems like they're kind of over the whole Fiend versus Alexa thing, and they're moving on to Alexa and Lily versus her victim, which we have yet to know with her victim. But yeah, man, where the hell has the Fiend been? It's been such a long time, and I kind of miss watching Firefly Funhouse and Bray Wyatt and those puppets. I mean, God knows where he is. I mean, they're really saving him for something, which I hope he comes out soon enough. Because for me, every time seeing Bray Wyatt or the Fiend, it was the highlight of the night for me. And I really hope they're not gonna mess this up for Bray Wyatt. I really hope they don't mess the Fiend up, because this is their meal ticket. People are paying to see the Fiend, and that's why they don't really overexpose him, because he is an attraction, and I get it. But you know, a little bit of a tease doesn't hurt, you know. Please. As for my rating, it was a 7 out of 10. Like I said, it felt like a very short Raw. Didn't feel like long, which don't get me wrong, some episodes of Raw, they feel very long and very boring. This one kind of slithered its way through and stuff. I mean, like I said, not a lot happened. There was a bit of a build-up for Backlash, you know, between Charlotte and Rhea and Asuka, and then, you know, Lashley, Braun, and Drew, and I guess maybe Alexa and her victim. Maybe we find out about it on Sunday. But yeah, overall, it was a 7 out of 10 show. That's it for this episode of Reed's Wrestling. Thank you for listening. I hope you guys are staying safe, wearing masks, taking care of yourself, taking care of others. And as always, we're going to get through this hard time. We are getting through this hard time. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next time.